Thank you.
Next case, please.
Our next case this evening is case number 12472, Stevens Rentals LLC, Selco Partnership doing business as Verizon Wireless, seeks a special use exception to place a telecommunications tower and a variance from the height requirements for a telecommunications tower. Sections 115.50, 115.179, 115-194.2 and 115.210 of the Sussex County Zoning Code. Property is located on the south side of Old Racetrack Road, opposite Brick Manor Road. The 911 address is not available. The zoning district is HI1. The tax parcel is District 532, Map 20, Parcel 14.02. Specifically, the applicant is requesting approval for a 158-foot high telecommunications monopole. Staff would note that we have received zero letters of support, zero letters of opposition, and zero mail returns. Thank you.
Well, you guys won the lottery. Because you're not last on the agenda tonight.
I think they took pity on me after the last
I time. I might have done.
Madam Chair, can I make a motion? No, just kidding.
They used to do that too.
I was considering it. I've been pretty nice.
We just want Mr. Tracy to drive in the dark.
Getting older, the eyesight's getting worse.
Okay.
Plus, I show up wearing this. I mean, how seriously could a police officer take me if I was pulled over?
You are in Sussex County, don't forget.
That is true. That's why I didn't quite shave all the way. Andy, if I come on, I promise, have you swear Andy Peterson in? I have two other folks here. They may or may not need to testify. Okay. Week.
You state your name and address for the record.
Andrew Peterson.
Get you close to the mic so we can catch it.
Andrew Peterson, Box 165, Fairview Village, Pennsylvania. Last name is Peterson.
And do you swear or affirm the testimony you're about to give is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
Thank you.
Andy, why don't you use this microphone over here? Good evening, members of the board. Good to see everybody again. John Tracy from Young Conway, Stargett and Taylor here on behalf of the applicant, Selco Partnership. To my left is Andy Peterson. He's our RF engineer, and you've heard from him before. You'll hear from him tonight. I also have, if needed, Mike Cleary, who's our civil engineer, and Sue Manchel, who is our site acquisition specialist. You all saw us here last month on another location, so a lot of what I say will be either truncated or very familiar to you, much like my wife says to me after 30 years. But as you heard, the application here is for a new monopole that is designed to be 158 feet as opposed to 150 feet in height. That 158-foot number includes the 5-foot lightning rod that's on the top. So you'll see in a moment that the variance is really 3 feet of tower over what we normally would do from a structure standpoint. The property is located I'm completely incapable. There we go. Yep. The property is located west of the town of Delmar along Old Racetrack Road. It is the bottom property, not the green property with the trailers, but the white property with the trailers that sits below Old Racetrack Road. The property is 5 acres in size. It's zoned HI1. As you can see, it's used in some form of commercial or industrial use. It's largely paved and stoned, as you can see, and again, as I mentioned, it's in an area of that's a cluster of these non-residential uses. The next slide for me, Jamie. Thank you. This location, however, gives us the opportunity that we strive to get in most cases, which is to place the location of the tower far away from other residential structures. It's hard to see from the screen, but we're over 1,200 feet away from any nearby residential structure. The next slide for me, Jamie. Thanks. This is the site plan that you have, and I'm just using this to point out that we've tucked the property into the lower corner of the site, which is, again, away from the active use of the property and in an area where it doesn't interfere with the operations on the site itself. The next slide for me. Thank you. And this, again, alludes to what I was talking about earlier, which is you can see the tower design there, and you can see that it looks like every other tower that we've done. In this instance, it's slightly taller. As again, most of it is captured by the 5-foot lightning rod, which nobody could see if they looked really hard, and then the warning light that's on the top of the tower as well. But Andy will talk in a moment about why this one is at that 158 feet as opposed to the normal 150. And just for clarification on that, when we have a 150-foot tower, you subtract 5 or 6 feet for the light and the warning, the lightning rod, so that really puts the antennas around the 143 to 145. In this instance, the antennas are essentially at the 150 to 153 range, so this reduction in height would actually have an impact on the service that we typically would provide. Andy's report, which you all have, details a lot of the exact same data that we talked about the last time regarding the general growth and use of cellular technology. The interesting notes from that include the number of homes relying on solely cellular service has risen over 57%, and it goes up to 75% when you're talking about younger folks or folks who are renting their homes. The same report dictates that there's anticipated to be a sevenfold growth in the demand for these services from 2017 to 2022. And then lastly, that over 70% of the current calls that come into 911 are generally originating from cellular service. All of this is tending to show how this need for this service continues to rise and how the demand for the service also continues to rise. And it's the demand for the service for our subscribers that gets us to the position where we come before you looking for approvals when there's existing gaps in coverage, there's lack of capacity, or both in these instances, and that's one of the things that you'll see here. So we have the next slide. This is a chart that just shows the data exhaustion that's occurring in this area. You can see in the blue areas and even the green areas, which reflect the after effects of the pandemic. We're still above the levels of demand or adequate service in these particular areas. The next slide. And this is where I'm going to defer to Andy a bit. Andy talked the last time about the instance of best server coverage and what that means in this instance. So we're going to go through the before and after. You can see Dove Hydra is the site that we're talking about today. The other two Verizon sites in this area are indicated by the other two dots on there. But Andy, if you could walk the board through what this shows.
Good evening. Yeah, I'll be brief, but if there's follow-up questions, please ask away. So the existing service for the town of Del Mar is mainly being provided for by a facility that Verizon has called Del Mar. It's north of town, and in particular the westerly facing sector of that site and the coverage footprint from that sector or set of antennas that point generally westerly is illustrated here in that grayish green, which is dominating the western portion of the exhibit here. You'll notice that the proposed site, which is labeled Hydra, is pretty central to that footprint and also much more proximate to the town itself. That's very intentional in this case. We're seeking to offload the traffic that is being generated by folks in town. As John so eloquently put it, the growth of services and the proliferation of devices and the wide range of uses that folks have now for the devices in their hands, in their cars, appliances, different devices that we don't even realize are communicating with the cellular networks is really driving usage, as was evidenced by the trending data that we showed. So it's important in this case to locate a new facility close to where the action is, you know, so close to town, and that's what we're proposing here. So if we flip to the next slide, please, you'll see that the new footprints from the new facility, the three coverage footprints that are generated, the two shades of pinkish purple there, and then the orangish yellow to the north, those are the new footprints of the three new sectors of the new site, with the proposed center line at 150 feet. And you can see that the southeasterly pointing set of antennas is now covering the majority of town from a much closer range. So it's a more efficient way to absorb that traffic than trying to cover it more distantly. So this will effectively offload the town there. So the need for the height is really to compete, if you will, with the existing Del Mar site. That site has antennas roughly at 170 feet. We don't want that tower to kind of overshoot or over or have a better line of sight into town than the proposed site, because then we won't be able to absorb enough traffic. So we need to have this facility at a height commensurate with with the existing site there in order to absorb that traffic effectively, thus the need for the height that's just a little bit beyond what's allowed in the code.
And as part of looking for a location, and when this information is in the report that was provided, we are required to identify structures that are within 2 miles of our proposed site where this could be co-located. Now, we identified roughly 5 such structures that were within that 2 mile radius. Now, 2 of those are the ones referenced on this drawing that we are already on. And 2 of the others, existing towers, were too far away, or too far away from the desired location and or too close to existing towers to provide existing coverage or solve the problems that we have in this particular area, correct?
That's correct, yes.
Now, there is one structure that was actually very close to the Hydra site, which is the water tower in the town of Del Mar. And so the board knows we did actually go meet with the town of Del Mar about locating our facilities on that water tank. We actually met with them. They took it to a meeting with council as to whether it could occur or not. And they ultimately concluded that our facilities could not be located on that water tower, actually for 2 reasons. One, they were concerned, 3 reasons. They were concerned with the security of the existing site in terms of our people getting in and out of a water tank site. 2, they were concerned, given the size of the parcel and the size of the water tower, whether we could locate our equipment shelters, which are shown on that site plan you show, on the property. And then 3, there was concern because it's also located, ironically, in a water recharge area. And so they didn't want to add more impervious cover or these equipment areas in the water resource area. So they ultimately decided not to move forward with us locating on their water tank. So that's why that site didn't work. Now, the next 2 slides also indicate this is kind of before and after of the existing reliable coverage. You can see Hydra, and then if you go to the next slide, you can see how much more coverage is created, which is both reflecting the offloading of the existing Del Mar site, but also expanding the coverage west along Racetrack Road and points west. And is it correct that this site, if it's online, will provide better in-vehicle and in-building coverage as well as solve capacity issues in these areas?
It will, yeah. It's really a twofold solution there. It'll improve what's already a pretty good coverage, but in order to have that service, we need the 2 components being capacity and coverage. So we will have enhanced in-building coverage in town for sure, but more than that, it's the capacity enhancement that's really the goal.
Okay, and then if we can move to the next slide. This is our next 3 slides are excerpts from the report. As the board is also aware, we're required to demonstrate that we stay within the emissions requirements of the FCC. As you have heard Andrew testify before, we do a worst case analysis of fully loading the tower, pointing everything down, turning the antenna on 24/7 to determine where in those worst case scenarios we fall. And in this instance, as your report notes, we are 1.3% of the allowable FCC limits for emissions from these sites.
That's correct. Yeah.
And then just to kind of wrap up the testimony on this, this tower will have the required warning lights, even though it doesn't trigger an FAA need for lighting.
Correct. We'll have it lit every 50 feet as per code.
And it can accommodate at least 2 other co-locators on this facility.
Correct.
And the site will be fenced in accordance with, enclosed in accordance with Sussex County's requirements.
It will be.
So, does anybody on the board have any questions for Andrew?
Any members have a question?
The technology's not there to use the other 2 antennas that are on the highway? I would think
so
by now, in 2020, we ought to be able to do that.
So I think if we flip forward a couple slides too. So
there we go.
Yeah, either one. We are currently, Verizon is already located on those towers. That's the Del Mar and South Del Mar sites. And that's a question I get a whole lot is, can't you add equipment to those sites, or can't you somehow enhance those sites, turn the power up,
right?
Something of that nature.
So, we're going to have antennas every 2 miles or 3 miles.
Well, generally we're going to need to add new sites close to population centers, and that's kind of what we have here. We really can't just add you know, that would be, of course, the preferred solution. If Verizon Wireless could do that, it'd be much cheaper, much faster to market. We wouldn't have to build an expensive new tower with new equipment. So we would certainly do that. And in fact, we do optimize and leverage all the existing assets before we look to add a new tower.
Where will the light be located? Will it be on the very top of the lightning pole or no?
So there'll be one.
Sussex County requires you to light the poles every 50 feet. So, Jamie, if you can find the site plan exhibit.
Yeah.
Right there. You can see we've called out the location. So there's two locations on the side of the tower.
Right.
And then there's one at the very top.
Okay.
Those are the every 50 feet. That's required by Sussex County Code. The FAA, because we're not in any flight paths or close to any airports, doesn't require it to be lighted. So it's lighting, in this instance, is a product of the Sussex County Code.
Mm-hmm.
What I think Andy was saying, and correct me if I'm wrong, is before you get to the point of looking to locate new towers, you try to directionalize the antenna, you try to boost the power of the antenna to create a stronger signal to carry further. One of the issues we have is we're operating at a finite or a specific level of licensing, so to speak, with our particular frequencies that we've been licensed. So we don't have the ability to go, for instance, to another frequency that we hire to utilize that.
Right, yeah, Verizon is licensed in very specific portions of the radio frequency spectrum, and that's the amount of spectrum that they have. They are always looking to participate in auctions for a new spectrum, and in fact, they were the biggest winner in the most recent CBRS spectrum that the FCC just concluded. And they will deploy those bands in the future. But there's a life cycle there and a timeline as far as those frequencies that are now authorized, or they're now authorized or will be authorized when those licenses become effective, to when that equipment becomes available and when they can deploy it. And they really need a solution before that. And then there's some other technical reasons why that isn't going to be a silver bullet for a case like this. The other thing is too, just turning up power. It's important to remember that this is a two-way communication. The little iPhone, the handset, whatever device you have, has to be able to talk back to the tower. With the advancement in technology, it requires just more than a weak signal to get back
I just feel these are too numerous in the county. That's just my opinion.
Part of the problem that you have is this technology was introduced 20 years ago.
Sure.
And we fell in love with it. The first thing it was, you had your cell phone and that was it, and you looked at,
I'm 5,000 minutes a month on Verizon.
You look at the Gordon Geckos of Wall Street with his cell phone on the beach, and that's what it was, and now we've got these little mini computers that are in our pockets. I mean, if people didn't like these things so much, you wouldn't see as many of these towers, but you get more and more complaints because people need to access their facilities. And then you look at a situation like we're in now, where people are working from home, people are learning from home, and that just further taxes the network. I mean, the example I may have given the last time was I did three towers on either side of Route 13 right by the toll booth near the racetrack. There's one on 13 on the racetrack. There's one, if you ever look, there's a small one in the parking lot for the toll center operation, and then they put one over by where Firefly is. May have come back at some point soon. But that's strictly demand driven. So you have three facilities located in a very small area because you've got a lot of traffic on 13. During the summertime, you have a lot of traffic on Route 1, and at several events, be it the races or Firefly or other events, you have a lot of people coming into those areas. And that's what drives the proliferation, if you would, of these facilities. You can go to a lot of areas where you don't see that many, maybe just along the highway because that's where the only demand for traffic is. But when you have population centers, you end up having more of these facilities, and then you start seeing the 5G coming in, which is probably not coming to Del Mar anytime soon, but you see it at the beach, and you see it in other, like Wilmington and other places like that, where they're putting essentially what looks like telephone poles right along the right-of-way to cover very short distances where there's high demand. I mean, that's, we're using these things, and we continue to use these things, and we're using them, I think, more than maybe any of us dreamed of 20 years ago, and that causes the need for the facilities to make them work. And it's a visual technology. It's a line of sight technology. The other question I've gotten in the past is, well, what happens when you're going to use satellites instead of these towers to do this? That works in Iowa. if you're standing in the middle of your cornfield and it's a sunny day. But if you're, if anybody who's got satellite radio, if you're in a building or driving in a tunnel or even in a wooded area, your signal goes out. And that shows the weakness of satellite technology, not matter what you would have to do to actually fix it if it got broke up there. So I hope that answered the question. Long-winded problem.
I do have one question. You ever get anybody else to relocate on your towers? Any other companies?
Yeah, we've had other people locate. We located on others as well.
Where do you go, underneath or on top?
Somebody ready to locate
underneath.
Yeah.
So they won't get the height that you guys got. You got the max.
Right.
So somebody when we locate, they're down below.
Correct.
Okay.
Correct. I mean, when we come in, we're not building a structure that's 200 feet tall to put our antenna at 150 feet. We're going to build it to the high point that we need it for, but it is available for others if operating on other bands, or we've done them on fire company properties where they can locate their antenna on the tower free of charge, of course. We've done that type of stuff as well. But we've also tried to co-locate. Again, our first stop here was to the town of Del Mar to go on their water tank, but they couldn't make it work. And it's their property. We can't say, but you know, we have to go here. They say, no, it's not available, and we go on to the next. And we had a property owner in this instance who was willing to host a tower, and given that it's a largely industrial site, it's not an incompatible use, as you usually find in these things.
Go ahead.
So just to be clear, Old Racetrack Road, this is going to be on the far left, all the way back tucked in that corner.
Correct.
That's what it's going to be.
Yeah.
Can we pull up the screen that you had that showed the coverage in the three? right there. That solid line, is that the state line?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay, we're in Sussex County. How much is that going to affect people in Maryland?
So the kind of lighter pink that leaks below the state line, that'll provide service into Maryland. The purple on the western side, that's going to Maryland. It's radio frequency propagation, doesn't care for municipal boundaries.
Of like the percentage of what's going to
more, it looks like it's in Delaware.
Oh yeah, it's the vast majority is Delaware. I mean, just eyeballing it, I'd say it's at least 80% coverage into Sussex County rather than into Maryland.
Most of these have been just all affecting Delaware.
Yeah.
This one's a little different. Yeah, 20% of that is on our in Sussex County, but Maryland's getting the benefit.
You can look at the site that's below it, that there's probably some of that site coming into Delaware from Maryland.
True.
So. Yeah. And again, it's line of sight technology. I think you heard me use the analogy. It's like you're building a puzzle. You're filling in the gaps, and you try to find locations that can best accommodate that. And here, because we're next to the state line, it's not like we're gonna build something and say, but everything has to go this way. Just like down there in Maryland, they would have said, we're gonna cut it off at the state line and not spend.
Obviously, yes.
Particularly when you're along 13 in that area.
I have a question, and you probably told us this before, but why do you have to put, is it a rule or law that you have to put a tower so many feet from a dwelling?
No, it's, well, they're, the only rule or law is the setback requirement, which is, I think it's 50 feet. It's not one-third the height of the tower, it's 50 feet. But what we like to do is try to find locations where we're not immediately in residential areas. It's not always possible because, again, there's demand. But I like to show when we can that we found a property that allows the tower to be a significant distance away from any residential properties. That was the purpose of that.
And it doesn't keep adjoining properties from developing the land.
Again, the only requirement we have is that 50-foot setback off of the property line. They would have whatever setbacks are in their zoning district, but they're not compromised by the tower. It doesn't change what they're
requiring. And it doesn't lead to health issues, or if there was a house built in close proximity?
Yeah, and no, for two reasons. One, as we've already talked about, we're well under what the thresholds are. But In the past, where somebody's raised that, I've actually directed them. There's an article on the American Cancer Society's website that actually talks about, is there an impact, is there a relationship between these facilities and cancer? And the article very emphatically concludes no. In fact, they say you're probably at a greater risk from the device you're holding in your hand than the tower that's there. So,
any other questions? Mr. Sharp.
I guess just the only one I've got, Mr. Tracy, is does Mr. Peterson swear or affirm your testimony?
Mr. Peterson, do you swear?
I do. Yes.
Thank you.
Is there anyone here in favor of the application? Is there anyone here in opposition of the application? Operator, is there anyone on the line who wishes to speak for or against this application? Thank you. Is there any other questions from members of the board? None? I'll close the public hearing and entertain a motion.
Can I just remind the board that
we also have a variance as well as a special use exception, and because it's a cell tower, there's some additional standards under 115-194.2.
Madam Chair, I move that we approve case number 12472 for the requested variance and special use exception that has been requested. I think that the variance will not alter the essential character of the neighborhood and presents the minimum necessary to afford relief, and will not substantially or adversely affect the uses of the neighboring or adjacent properties.
Second.
Motion and a second. Mr. Corman?
Nay.
Threw me off. Mr. Workman?
Aye.
Mr. Williamson?
Aye.
Dr. Carson?
Aye, for my reasons.
And I, too, for the reasons. So with a vote of 4-1, the application is approved.